Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in the heart of Washington, D.C. Sitting across from me is the Vice President of Guns and Crime Policy at the Center for American Progress. Her name is Chelsea Parsons. Yesterday, of course, we had yet another mass shooting. And it's very tempting to just say, well, you know, there goes another one. We, according to some statistics, have had more mass shootings this year, some 351, than days in the year, some 331. And we've had a number of people who support laws to make it easy for people who want to commit mass murder to do so, expressing sympathy for the victims. Jeb Bush, candidate for president, famously said after, I forget whether it was the Oregon shooting or the there have been so many Tennessee shooting, the Louisiana shooting. It was the UCC shooting. Okay, see, you know, I'm sorry to say they all run together. Said, you know, lightning happens. You know, things happen. Mass murder happens. And I have to say, you know, even when an earthquake happens, we look at retrofitting buildings. We don't say it's an act of God, all these people died. We actually design buildings to try to prevent an earthquake, even in something like that, which we have far less control over than we do over gun policy. Chelsea Parsons has quite a history in working with gun safety laws. She used to work for Mayor Bloomberg of New York, who, of course, is one of the leaders in this fight. She also is an assistant district attorney herself. Chelsea Parsons, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into policy, and we will, tell me just when you heard the news yesterday and you turned on the television and you saw 14 dead and 17 wounded, and here they use these assault weapons that we used to ban in America. I don't know, what went through your mind, through your heart? What'd you think about it?
So, ironically, when we started to get news that this shooting was happening, I was sitting in a room full of my colleagues at other gun violence prevention organizations having our monthly meeting where we talk about what's going on in the movement and where the action is and talk about, you know, what's going on in gun policy. And we had on our agenda for the day to talk about the recent shooting at Planned Parenthood.
That was just, 3 days earlier? You lose track.
Shooting at the Black Lives Matter protest in Minneapolis.
The one in Paris, which was just 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. And so that's where I was sitting when news about this came in. And all of us in the room just were, you know, you're a little stunned. And the, you know, the frequency with which these events have been happening it is really astounding, even for those of us who work on this issue every day.
Well, there does seem to be a determination among, and I won't even say NRA members, because frankly, some 80% to 85% of NRA members support background checks. So it's not even most members of the National Rifle Association. But let's just say among the leaders of the gun politicians, or they aren't all Republican, most of them are, but the ones who, like Jeb Bush, just to say, you know what? It's probably not going to happen to you. California's a long way away. Okay, well, you know, maybe Connecticut's a little bit closer. Or there was one in Maryland recently. There have been several in Virginia. We all know about the snipers in D.C. So, you know, as locals here, we know they're all over. But, you know, chances are you probably won't be shot. Go about your business. Do your Christmas shopping. And we feel really bad for the victims, of course.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, there's often an interest and an attention in talking about gun violence in the wake of and in the context of those most recent, most horrible mass shooting. And yet that really isn't what's representative of what gun violence more commonly looks like in this country. And, you know, that's where we really need to be focusing our attention, is how do we reduce the number of people killed with guns in this country, in communities around the country every day?
So we have more than 10,000 murders a year, more than 15,000 suicides a year, more than 5,000 accidents a year, 30,000 a year, rough math, almost 100 people dead every day, rough math, 4 people dead an hour. So between now and the next 15-minute break, someone's going to be shot by a gun in this country on average.
And this is a uniquely American problem. Yeah. Our peer nations do not see levels of gun violence.
Help
like
me with this. I know what Australia did. It's a fantastic thing. I've talked with Australians. They can't believe what we're like. But of course, they're a continent unto themselves. Help me with our neighbors to the north, because Canada is more like us than any other country on earth. And there's a large undefended border, the largest on the planet. How do they deal? They have lots of guns in Canada. I mean, they have a gun culture. You know, they're the Wild West, Alberta. I mean, they kind of like we do. How do they deal with it? Do you happen to know?
You know, I don't know the ins and outs of Canadian gun laws, but what I know is that our gun laws have some really big gaps in them.
Yeah, right? we don't see mass shootings every day up there in Canada.
Right.
We just don't. In terms of our gaps, I can't tell you how often I talk with people on the internet. The people who are against reasonable gun safety laws are some of the most vocal people imaginable. Every time I do a show on guns, every time, I get dozens and dozens of comments from people who disagree with me. And I'm on progressive radio stations, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, there probably are only, 50 listening to me across the country in 43 stations. I mean, most progressives want gun safety laws. And yet the people who don't are extremely loud. And one of the things that when I worked for Congressman Barney Frank that he taught me that I guess I didn't realize when I started in politics 15 years ago is it's not just majority rules in politics. You kind of think, well, it's democracy, majority rules, minority rights. It's also how strongly you feel about an issue. And if someone will only vote on questions of guns and not on any other question, they have more weight, even if they're only 10% of the population.
Right. And historically, a problem that we've had in the gun policy debate is, you know, what we call the intensity gap, which is the voters on the other side of the issue have been more vocal, more single issue voters on this kind of issue. But what I'll say is that in the last 3 years since Newtown, we have started really to close that gap, and we have much more strong and vocal grassroots support on our side of this issue. And you're seeing many more calls into Congress and a lot more grassroots action in support of common sense gun laws.
But there's a ton of misinformation. So I'm on the air yesterday when San Bernardino is happening, and I'm talking about it, and I'm frustrated, as I often am, and these things really tear at me, because I probably, like you, like most people, imagine myself, what would I do if I were there? And, you know, what would I do if, I mean, the Colorado killer, what would I do if we're in a theater and they start shooting? I talk about basic background checks, which, after all, 60% of gun sales already have background checks. If you're a licensed firearm dealer, you have to undergo a background check. If you're a gun seller, you probably want everyone to have background checks, because it's harming your business
right. That
somebody can just go on the internet and buy from a complete stranger, and you can be on the terrorist watch list and have a whole history of violence, and bingo, you get a gun. And they say, well, you already have background checks. And I have to tell the person, no. Yeah, you do for some sales, but you don't for all sales. And they just tell me it's not true. My response to those people is, well, if it's not true, then you won't mind if I put in a bill that says, let's have universal background checks, will you? Because you think we already have it. I say we don't. We disagree. Here's how we resolve it. If it's redundant, it won't hurt our law books. They're big enough already. How do you talk to people who won't believe something that's object, and we can argue about gun violence, but it's objectively true that you can buy a gun without a background check in America, and some people just refuse to believe it.
Yeah, that is one of the kind of more peculiar and frustrating things about this issue, is
willing disbelief.
Well, I think some of it isn't even willing disbelief. I mean, I think
it's just ignorance.
I think that there is some misinformation about our gun laws. And, you know, the NRA is very effective.
Yeah, they say, just
messaging.
Enforce our gun laws. And we're
That's
like,
right.
we don't have these gun laws.
That's right.
Why don't you enforce the gun laws you don't have? We can't. Do that.
Right, and they've been very effective at saying there is no gun show loophole and there is no private sale loophole, and so, you know, that message continues to resonate with some folks even in the face of the reality, which is that in most states in the country and under the federal law, you know, there are a significant number of sales that happen without a background check.
Well, here's what I'm thinking of doing. As you may know, I'm going to be a legislator in Virginia. I've just been elected to the House of Delegates. I think I'll wait till I get sworn in, which is going to be in a month. But then I'm going to, and I've never held a real gun before, honestly, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to a gun show. I'm going to ask around. I'm going to have someone try to secretly videotape me if I can do this. And I'll say, hey, where can I buy a gun without a background check? And they'll point me to wherever I can buy a gun without a background check. And I'll say, hey, I want to buy a gun, but no background checks. And, you know, they may turn me away or they may say, sure, here you go. You know, we'll see what they ask me, why I want it. If they ask me, I'll say, you know, none of your business. I'll say what any good terrorist killer might say. And I'll buy a gun. And maybe if I put that on the internet, people will see. You know, now someone's going to say, prosecute those people. But you can't because it's legal.
Well, and there have been Mayors Against Illegal Guns did.
Has done
and the city
like
of New
that.
York did an investigation like that where they sent some undercover, you know, investigators into gun shows. Where they went to a private seller and said words indicating that he was glad that you don't do a background check because I probably couldn't pass one.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the sellers said, well, hey, buddy, I can't sell to you then mm-hmm. if you're telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them didn't. And so there really is this murky secondary market in firearms where guns are changing hands under very suspicious circumstances. People are getting guns who are legally prohibited from having them. And, you know, there's really very little that law enforcement can do about it.
And although we call it the gun show loophole, my understanding is it's really the internet loophole. In other words, you know, maybe this happens. This can happen at gun shows. But the vast majority of the time, I believe it. And again, I get all these killers mixed up. And I never want to even say their names. But I think it was the Colorado killer who got his arsenal off the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it really has moved, this private market of firearms has moved onto the internet. And so you have hundreds of websites. You have just one, armslist.com, that has thousands and thousands of guns for sale.
You know, I knew that, but I like to say it's on the internet without saying the name, but
yeah.
Honestly, you can Google and
yeah.
in 1 minute you can find it. So I guess we're really not hiding the ball
well,
from anyone.
And you know, you can search these websites and you can sort the guns for sale by whether or not they require a background check.
Really?
And so you can.
That's one of the niceties that the thing provides.
Yeah.
You know, I should write on there, hi, I'm a terrorist. I want to mass murder a bunch of people. I hate, you know, whatever. I'll pick some group of people. I hate left-handed people. You know, where can I get a gun without a background check? I don't know how I find left-handed people. But, you know, I'm going to go after them. Sorry, left-handed people. But, you know, there's so, as I said, I'm going into the Virginia legislature. I've got some bills already. This is no secret to anyone who knows me. I've got some bills on guns, and I'm happy to work with you, by the way, on those.
Great.
On the other hand, I'm going to Virginia. That's where we began this conversation. And Virginia, unlike, say, Maryland or D.C., is a legislature where both houses are controlled by the Republicans. And I'll tell you, in my home state, they go to a specific subcommittee to die.
Mm-hmm.
They're not vote on the House floor. The senator who I'm the delegate, the senator in my district, Adam Eben, put mm-hmm. a bill in last year to ban, to make it a misdemeanor to give a loaded firearm to someone under the age of 5. It was defeated because the NRA said, we don't want to set arbitrary age limits on people handling guns. To which I wanted to say to that person, do you got a kid under 5? Because do you mind if I hand them a loaded gun? I mean, head explode type stuff. But that bill, they didn't want to vote on it in the whole House. That would look bad. They didn't want to vote on the whole committee. So it went to a particular subcommittee where there's a few Republicans from extremely rural districts. And they just kill these bills on behalf of all the Republicans.
I'm familiar with this committee.
Ah, you are.
I am.
Scott Lingenfelter is the delegate who he's the I want guns for toddlers delegate, and that's his great name, the nickname we need for him.
I'm a Virginian myself.
Oh, so okay. Then you understand this.
I mean, one of the things that's been frustrating in Virginia too is there has been legislation to prevent domestic abusers from having access to guns.
Right.
And that actually had a good vote in the Virginia Senate last year, but.
Died in Scott Lingenfelter's committee.
Exactly.
Chelsea, we have to take a break. Folks, if you want to call and join the conversation, I encourage you to do so. It's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm sitting here with Chelsea Parsons. She is the Vice President of Guns and Crime Policy at the Center for American Progress. We only have a little bit of time left, Chelsea, but one of the reasons why I wanted to have you here is to tell me about a colleague at your sister organization, Think Progress. Igor Volsky is taking on some of the politicians who aren't that great on gun safety laws. Tell me what he's doing.
Yeah, so one of the more maddening things that has been happening lately after events like this is you have members of Congress and candidates saying, my thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families. My thoughts and prayers are with law enforcement. And, what Igor did last night is start.
It's only maddening when they don't support gun safety laws.
Well, it's only maddening when all they're bringing to the table are thoughts and prayers, and they're not actually backing any of that up with action. And so that's exactly what Igor wanted to call them to task for last night, is to say, all we're getting are thoughts and prayers, but where's the action behind that?
So what did he do?
So what he did was he started tweeting back at a number of these members who have received financial contributions from the NRA.
Ah.
And what he did was say, NRA donated X amount of money to this campaign to ensure that all you're going to give us are thoughts and prayers.
Nice.
And so it gained a lot of traction really quickly, became a moment, and it really started to resonate with people as a way to kind of
respond, to tweet back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give thoughts and prayers. You also take a lot of money to make sure that more people are getting shot.
Right, and just to say, and certainly thoughts and prayers, yes, please, but not thoughts and prayers, period.
Well, you know what? If you're a politician, it's your job to do more than thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely, exactly.
And that's your job, is to fix these laws. And that's, like I said, something that I hope to do against, admittedly, some tough odds. What specifically, and we only got a very few seconds left, but what specifically do you think has the best chance of succeeding nationwide in terms of modest gun reform laws?
Yeah, I think where we're seeing progress right now is at the state level. And so you're seeing a lot of state legislators and state executives.
What, background checks?
Background checks, and we're seeing a lot of movement across the country on domestic violence bills.
So if you've been convicted of crimes of domestic violence.
Or subject to a restraining order.
Then you can't get a gun. Chelsea Parsons, thanks for coming here, right here where you work at the Center for American Progress. And coming here on the Inside Scoop. I'm going to take your calls when I get back. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about more gun violence. What are we going to talk about? It happens every day now. Mass murder, this time, of course, in San Bernardino. A good husband and wife, or maybe it's fiancé, I don't know, shooting team with using a bunch of weapons that used to be illegal, but Republicans demanded they be made legal. Because after all, we've got to help mass murderers occur. Again, I wonder whether we shouldn't just take it one further. I mean, if we're going to legalize semi-automatics. Maybe we should just legalize machine guns, and maybe we should just legalize tanks. Maybe we should simply give nuclear weapons to ISIS and tell them to put them in America, because after all, nuclear weapons don't kill people. People kill people, right? Let's go to Laura in New Mexico on line one. Hey, Laura, how are you?
Good. How are you, Mark?
I'm still upset, but I'm still alive. No one's burst in with a gun in this room yet.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
We're all upset, but why can we not tune into your show or your website or other progressives and see a list of the lawmakers that take money from the NRA?
It's a good question. It is available. It is available. It's probably not publicized enough, but it is available.
Let's do that. Why don't we do that? And why don't we become one-issue voters and get these guys out?
You know, one way to find out, an easy way, is the NRA puts out their own list. What they do is they give A's to lawmakers. And we can just simply, F is the new A. Vote down an A.
Let's see.
Igor Volsky's.
Yeah,
one of the things that Igor Volsky is doing, this guy at Think Progress, and if you just you could just search NRA politicians, and you'll find all his tweets. Where every time someone tweeted, thoughts and prayers to the victims, he tweeted back, "You got 3,000 from the NRA. You got 1,000 from the NRA. You got 4,000 from the NRA. Whatever it is." It at least people should know who pays for their politicians. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And there should be a list out there that's readily available and publicized, and people may, these politicians perhaps will stop taking that money when they see that they're not going to get voted.
I'll tell you something though. While you were talking, it was that quick. I just typed in NRA politicians and I found the top one. It's called National Rifle Association, All Recipients, Open Secrets, which publishes every group that gives to every candidate. In 2014, among just federal candidates, that's not to mention state candidates, they gave almost $1 million, $810,000, and they've got a list. I guess the limit must be $10,000 because they gave $9,900 to Eric Cantor and to John Cornyn and the Mitch McConnell. The majority leader of the Senate, the list just goes on and on. And the Republicans and Democrats on the list. So
I was going to say, we want to do the Democratic recipients as well.
Absolutely. So here's the thing. It's all available. And really, I guess you now should help publicize it. Just go to tweeting around, put it on your social media, urge other people to share it. I'll tell you.
We're putting it on your Twitter right now.
On my Twitter right now. And Laura, you can make the difference yourself. This is something that you have to do, that I have to do, that everyone listening has to do. Social media is a very powerful thing. So I'm going to ask you to do exactly what you ask me to do, and I'll do it, and you'll do it. How about that?
Okay, well, it helps to have your own show.
It does, but you have more power. But you have more power than you think you do, Laura. I don't know how many friends you have on Facebook. I don't know whether you're on Twitter or not. I'm sure you have more than 1,000 people that have emailed you at one time or another. You and every listener here has more power than you think you do. One of the reasons why the NRA gets so much power is because they have people who are unafraid of calling everyone and being a bit of a nudge and annoying people. Constantly, and sometimes I think we who want sane gun safety laws are a little bit too polite. We don't bother people as much, and therefore our voices aren't as loud. We are much more numerous than they are. Much more numerous than they are. I'd encourage you. I have a voice. I'm using it. I am on the radio. But Laura, really, you have a voice too. Please use your voice in your local communities, your email, your Facebook, your Twitter account, and get the word out, too. How about that?
Yeah, I plan to do that.
Fantastic. And let's hope that a bunch of listeners...
On the other hand, what about the news shows? What about just running, just like the credits at the end of their show? Here's the list. Because this is one of the, if not the most important issues... that we have right now.
You know what they should do?
Go ahead.
You know, if I were had a new show, I would have these people were shot by guns today and have their names listed at the end of every day on the news show, And these politicians, you know, were paid to protect the murderers.
Well, that's a start too, but I don't see it happening. I just see a lot of hand wringing, but I don't see people that are in the public eye using their forum to publish the names of the top recipients from the NRA and get them voted out.
Well, Laura, I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for myself. I am so annoyed by this issue that I ran for office in Virginia, and I plan to start serving in a month. In fact, I'll be off the radio in January, February, March, because I'll be serving in Richmond, but then I'll come back. But if you go to Open Secrets, and I just tweeted it out, you will see the list of the people, just a list of, and I'll read them off, because only the people who've received $9,000 or more, okay, $9,000 or more are David Valadeo of California, James Inhofe, Senator of Oklahoma, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Steve Sutherland of Florida, Pat Roberts of Kansas, Stuart Mills of Minnesota, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Bob Goodlatte of Virginia, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Ryan Costello of Pennsylvania, John Cornyn of Texas, Mike Kaufman of Colorado, Thad Cochran of Mississippi, Eric Kanner, because it was done in 2014, also of Virginia, and John Barrow of Georgia. With the exception of John Barrow, every single one of them is Republican. So if you want a shorthand to how to stop gun violence in America, don't vote for the Republican Party. It's that simple.
Well, that's true. That kind of goes without saying, but there are a few Democrats.
There are. There's some bad ones, too, and I named the one on the list. But the list is there. Thank you for calling in, Laura, and giving us that idea. I really do appreciate it. Let me go to Brian in Denver. Hey, Brian, how are you? Line two.
Pretty good. It's been a while since we talked.
But, it has been. Thanks for calling in again.
Yeah, no, nothing like this topic to figure
it
out.
Oh, yeah, this is a topic people care passionately about. I know I do,
well, yeah.
And I think you do, too, as I recall.
Yeah, I do, and it's sad instead of amusing to see how much of a effect logic-free zone this is when this is getting talked about. And, you know, quite frankly, it's disappointing to hear people on the left who I know are more intelligent than this, and when they use a shooting like this to talk about, you know, background checks and all this other kind of stuff, when there's absolutely nothing to show that any of these laws that they wanted to put in place would have stopped this type of shooting. And yet,
no, wait a minute, wait. Stop right there. These two killers, we don't know all the details yet. We're still learning about them. We do know
legal guns,
that they used guns that used to be banned in America under the assault weapons ban for 10 years. That ban was lifted, and now they have the gun. So if they got them legally, then they got them because this law was lifted, and those Republicans and Democrats who voted for that law are to blame for the firepower of these two killers.
You really understand the difference between what was made illegal and what...
I understand that the law wasn't perfect. I would have made more illegal.
I would ban all
semi-automatic...
Let me educate you and your listeners. There is nothing that would have stopped this happen, even if the assault weapons ban would have been on. You know how long it takes to change a clip? About half a second.
Let's talk about that wonderful half a second, because that half a second saved a dozen lives in Arizona. When the killer went after Gavin Giffords. Let me tell you, and you tell me if you disagree with me. When the killer went after Gabby Giffords, Congresswoman Gabby Giffords in Arizona, and I don't say the names of the killers, when he went there and he shot off, I think it was 10 or 12 bullets, whatever it was, he went to change his clip, and a very brave woman in her 50s knocked the new clip out of his hand as he was changing it, and no doubt saved another dozen people or so from being shot. So don't tell me that half second doesn't bother you if you're on the range, which is why you shouldn't mind, you know, saying that we only have 10 or 12. You shouldn't mind, because it only takes half a second, and I stop 40 seconds sometimes at a traffic light. So chill, you folks who can't waste half a second, but it does save lives in a mass shooting case in Arizona.
No, it doesn't. You're again in a fact-free zone, and I'm disappointed.
You disagree that happened in Arizona? You challenge that fact?
Yes, because you know what's more. You know what is.
Wait. So you say that did not happen in Arizona? There was no 50-year-old woman who knocked out.
Let me just ask a question: Which is more effective at firing 50 rounds or 45 rounds?
So you agree that I told the truth in Arizona? You just want to quickly move by.
No, I'm not.
Okay, you are stating that that is false. You're stating on the air that you're sure that nobody knocked a clip out of the killer's hands in Arizona, whose name I'm not giving, but the one who shot Gabby Giffords. You're saying that didn't happen.
How many guns do you own?
Okay, so you're not going to answer my question. Proof, when you change the topic, okay, it did happen. Ah, so I didn't lie about it. Okay.
No, you're not saying it's a lie.
All right, well, good. Sometimes I have to really push you before you answer my question. Okay, so we agree that that case is true. How many guns do I own? I own zero guns.
I own zero guns. We answer this question. If it is shown that it's more effective and more consistent, if you want to shoot 45 rounds, to use 3 15-shot clips versus 1 50-round clip, because 50-round clips jam at a much higher rate. I own several guns, I go to the range a whole lot. And I'll tell you one thing, if I was instructed, you have to get 45 rounds off in 20 seconds or 40 seconds, I would use 3 15-shot clips versus 1 50-shot clip any day, because the bigger the clip, the more likelihood they are to jam, not feed right, or anything like that. But that we're getting off the point. The whole point is, there's over 300 million guns in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And people like you, not
did you hear me say that I want to ban guns? I didn't say that.
No.
I want background checks. I don't want people who are on the terrorist watch list or with strong, violent mental health histories or people who've committed domestic violence.
Would it have stopped the shooting? No.
We don't know. You know, we don't know whether it would or would. We'll find out. I do know this. It would have stopped some of these shooters. It would not have stopped all of these shooters.
Which one? Which mass shooting would that give a background check that stopped? Which one?
Well, we know the guy at Virginia Tech had been declared by a court to be mentally ill.
No, he passed his background check. He went through the background check.
We know that a court declared him mentally ill. Okay.
That's right, and it was because the government screwed up.
The government that you put so much trust in. I see. So if government, all right, I get your point. If the government fails to stop 9/11, we should therefore disband the army because obviously they're ineffective, and it won't cause any more terrorist attacks. Because if we miss one, we're going to miss all of them. So therefore, we should have no military. That makes logical sense in Humpty Dumpty land. I'll tell you what, Brian, I got to take a break. But I'm not done with you. I know you're not done with me. We'll be right back right after this. Folks, you want to call in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am on my Twitter handle right now at Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk, tweeting out the politicians who take money from the NRA. Laura from New Mexico asked me to do that. I am doing that, and I ask you to share it. Also, I want to correct something I said on the air. I said a 50-something-year-old woman grabbed the magazine from the killer in Arizona. I always like to correct my mistakes. I looked it up. Patricia Mace was 61. 61-year-old grandmother managed to stop a brutal mass murderer because he had to change clips. I am in an intense discussion with Brian from Denver, and I do welcome Brian's call on the air. He disagrees with me on this topic. Brian, you've got the floor.
Okay, thanks. I mean, first of all, banning the assault weapons, those were mostly cosmetic things, and I think you know better than simply if that...
Oh, I would go further. Let me ask you this. Tell me what legitimate purpose a non-law enforcement officer needs for a semi-automatic weapon, all right? I mean, if you're going to go out hunting, do you really need to shoot the deer 12 times? I mean, why do you need it if you're not in the military?
Why do you need a copy of Mein Kampf? Why do you need a copy of Mao's Blue Red Book? Why do you need a copy of the Communist Manifesto?
Well, I do
why
think
do you,
we
why
have...
Do you need a, Why do you need a copy of the Declaration of Independence? Why do you need a Playboy magazine? Why do you need a Bible? Why do you need this? As soon as you justify your...
But you know what? There's a huge difference between having something you can read and having something you can kill people with. So by your logic, let's just be fair, Brian. Brian, let's be logical. But your argument is that every American should have a right to have any killing machine, right?
No.
Well, what are the limits then?
You asked me for justification.
You just agreed there should be limits. You agree there should be limits. Tell me what the limits should be. Should every American own a tank? Should you have a right to own a tank?
There already are.
You like the limits that currently exist.
I hope you do a better job in Virginia.
Brian, you like the laws as they currently exist.
You are arguing ad absurdum. You know that.
No. I just want to know. You're saying you do or you don't. I just want to know. Do you like the laws as they currently exist?
I think the laws that currently exist are fine.
Okay, you're fine with those. So tell me this. So you think it's just fine for... Do you think it's okay for someone under five, a four-year-old, a three-year-old, to play with a loaded gun? Hopefully you'll say
no. Parents should make sure they don't.
And if someone hands a child under the age of five a loaded firearm, do you think that person should be convicted of at least a misdemeanor?
Just like if a parent hands a running chainsaw to a...
Exactly, to a three-year-old. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Now, the law in Virginia is that it's perfectly legal to give a loaded firearm to a four-year-old and a three-year-old. One of my colleagues in the state Senate put forward a bill that I'm going to put forward again this year to say, no, it should be a misdemeanor, not even a felony, a misdemeanor to give a loaded firearm to a kid under the age of five. Can you agree with me that this is a law that you would support, given that there are hundreds of children killing children or others or adults, killing themselves or others in America every year?
This is so absurd. There is the number of that happening is just another excuse for camel's nose under the tent. Sure.
Okay, so are you saying you wouldn't support this law? If you were in the legislature, you'd vote it down?
I would not, because it's an absurd law that handles maybe a couple of incidences a year.
And those kids don't matter. Those lives don't matter. So your five-year-old shot your six-year-old. Your six-year-old wasn't that great a kid anyway. Let him die. You really don't give a damn if the kids die because of guns, do you?
No, I don't. I hate all kids.
Clearly, you and W.C. Fields.
No. You just listen a second. Do you think that everything bad that happens, the government is able to stop?
No.
And that if you don't pass a law against it, the people that are opposing a law against something that you use, sure, okay, pick out a few dozen cases a year. Oh, this is terrible. Let's make a law against it. Well, you know what?
What's the harm? Having a law against it? You know what a law can do, Brian? A law can make people think twice. So a parent can say, you know what? I guess I will lock up my gun. Because if I don't lock up my gun, I can go to prison. So I won't leave my loaded gun on the coffee room table where my five-year-old can pick it up. You know what? I won't do that. Because I just read the newspaper that Mark Levine got a law passed saying that I could go to jail if that happens. So I don't want to go to jail. I'll be a little more careful with my guns. And if that saves only seven lives, I'll take it.
So you're okay. Wait. All right. Okay, so you're okay with passing any law that saves at least seven lives?
Any
correct?
Law? No, not
yeah,
any law. No, I wouldn't round
okay,
up all people and put.
You,
the, wouldn't I pass it would save seven lives? A bill to round up everyone and put them in jail without a trial? I wouldn't do that.
Okay, how about banning alcohol? Do you know that alcohol...
Yeah, no, I think prohibition was a failed experiment. I'll grant you that.
Really?
I'm glad...
What about the teenagers that get alcohol and get killed? Do you care about their lives?
I do. In fact, that's why I support laws against drunk driving.
Okay.
I don't support laws against drinking. I support laws against drunk driving because it's the drinking and driving that causes the danger.
Against, Maybe there should be a law against shooting somebody not in self-defense instead of outlawing the mechanism, just like there's a law against their drunk driving instead of outlawing.
But there's no law against giving a three-year-old a loaded gun. And what I understand what you're saying, Brian. You'd be opposed to such a law. And that's where you and I are going to have to differ because the show's over. Thanks for calling in, Brian. I do like debating with you, and I encourage you to call in again. Folks, if you want to follow me on Twitter, just go to @MarkLevineTalk. This is Mark Levine signing off.